is from Matthew chapter 3 today, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, which is found in our ESV Bibles, 1027 from our ESV Bibles on the pew. Before reading the text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we cannot imagine that if you are directly speaking to us and we are standing in front of your holy words, maybe we cannot stand, we cannot be there because your holiness. So many times we forget that your word itself, the Bible, carries your power, your honor, your holiness. Lord, thank you so much for reminding us that today. We are about to open the scripture and encounter your grace and listen to your words. Would you please prepare our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we will be able to understand, we'll be able to focus ourselves to Christ alone. Bless me, Lord, as I'm going to deliver your word. Bless my lips. And both I and our congregation be in your mercy and grace. We'll be looking at only you, our Lord Jesus Christ, throughout this very special moment. We pray these things, your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the word of God. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. If now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of God. Who's John the Baptist? We heard him from the pulpit, from our Bible study. Who's John the Baptist? He was born in the hill country of Judah of a priestly family. So he's one of them. His father's name is, we know, from Luke and Zechariah. He was a priest. And his mother's name was Elizabeth. We know her. And she's a daughter of Aaron. So she's a line of a priest. And the book of Luke tells about John the Baptist. And in John's birth in Luke, his narrative is remarkable. It's awesome to read. The angel Gabriel announced the birth of John to Zechariah in the temple. While he was serving, and the angel appeared to him and said, you're going to have a son soon. And he said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. So from that verse, we know that they've been praying for having a son. But your prayer has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, your son, and You shall call his name John. So the angel already gave him the name John. By reading this one, we remember Hannah's prayer, pretty much like a Hannah's prayer we looked at about 6 weeks ago. Now, the angel told Zechariah not just only name and you're going to have a son, but told him about the purpose of John's life. That's quite interesting. Not just giving a son, but telling him that this is what he's going to do. Now, his life should be very limited. Not like your normal people, limited and restricted somehow. No wine, no strong drink. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. And his diet is weird. His clothing is also strange. Matthew chapter 3 and 4. He wore a clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt. Not like other people. And then he ate locust. Oh, and wild honey. And his life was very simple, but kind of weird. And Luke 8, chapter 1, verse 80, it says, "And the child grew, and it became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness." That's the point. He was in the wilderness, not living with their parents, until the day of a public appearance to Israel. That's all. His life is already set up. This is how he's going to live. This is his life. That's interesting. The most powerful one is Luke chapter 1 verse 15. It says about the presence of God's Spirit with John. It's interesting to know that, because when you read Old Testament, even the New Testament, God always pours his Holy Spirit to his servants. So we know that John was called by God and John was God's servant. John the Baptist was actually the last prophet of Israel. So his prophetic call is written in Luke chapter 1. It's basically even chapter 7. Jesus called him as a prophet. But in Luke chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, it says about his job description as a prophet. And he will turn many, many people to the Lord. That's what the angel said, to the Lord their God, that's 16 and verse 17, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So he's one of the prophets like Elijah, bringing God's power to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom, to the just, and make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So he has lots of things to do, bringing the message of God to the people and their hearts to God. So he was the prophet. So we know that he was the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing God's way, the Lord's way. And his call was to preparing people's hearts for Jesus Christ. And also his job was proclaiming the message of repentance and also bringing God's forgiveness to them. And another, his job description was baptizing people as a symbolic action for their repentance. That's John the Baptist. He was a great prophet, and he was the last prophet of Israel. Now, Matthew 3 tells us his beginning ministry, his public ministry. And it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching, finally." After many years later, he started his ministry preaching in the wilderness where he lived, in the wilderness of Judea. Let's bring our hearts to wilderness here a little bit more. The word wilderness carries a significant meaning to the Israelites at the time. It's not negative meaning. If we think of desert and wilderness, we don't want to go there. We don't want to live there. But John the Baptist lived there for reasons. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to Moses in the wilderness. So it's a place to meet the Lord. And God gave the Ten Commandments and even established the covenant with his people in the wilderness of Sinai. That's Exodus 19. It's a very special place for the Israelites. It was a place for rest and shelter for Elijah and King David, if you read Old Testament. And then God's future deliverance also will come from the wilderness. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 5. So the Israelites knew that wilderness means a great meaning. It's a special meaning to them. Salvation, it's about resting and sheltering God's grace. So John started his ministry in the wilderness. It carries lots of meaning to them. John's ministry in the wilderness reminds God's people about deliverance, God's message, His guidance, even God's covenant. So somehow, by hearing the word wilderness, that is a site of, the place of revitalizing their faith. So exciting moment, something is happening in the wilderness. Let's go check it out. So he was preaching from there. So we know that John the Baptist, he was kind of last prophet because for 400 years, there's non-prophet. And all of a sudden, John began his preaching the word of God in the wilderness. And so his preaching in the wilderness became very special to people in Jesus' time. That's why our text said that people came to him. That's kind of unusual. If you read Old Testament, you see that the prophets usually go to the people, go to the kings, and proclaim the word of God. But this time, people came to the wilderness, came to John. Now, John's preaching was very simple, rather powerful. In verse 2, he begins one word, repent. I don't think he has some preaching skills or I don't think he knows how to make some wonderful words and that I learned from Calvin Seminary. Still, I'm struggling with making sermons. I don't think he has that skill. He's starting his repent. It is interesting that Jesus also started the same with his ministry, same words in Matthew chapter 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the message of repentance continues in the book of Matthew. You will see after that. Here the word repentance in Greek original language means changing one's mind. So is John talking about changing your mind? But John's message goes deeper. We will talk about that later. Before going into John's message, we have to know what the meaning of repent from our catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism 88, questioning about repentance, genuine repentance. It says two things about our repentance. First thing is dying away from old self. So we have to die from our old self. And the rising to life of new. So it has to happen two things. We have to dying away of our old self, but the rising to life of new things. That's the meaning of repent that John the Baptist is carrying to his people. Like a making U-turn if you're going to the wrong direction. You know that this is not right direction. If you're going to Seattle, but you found yourself going to Coeur d'Alene and Bozeman, and all of a sudden, oh, wrong direction, but I don't want to go back because this is my way. That's not the meaning of repent. Repent is turning away, dying away from your old self and rising to the new life. So John's teaching about repentance is not only about changing mind, the meaning of the word, but the turning of the whole person, entire person from sins to God in obedience to the message of the kingdom of heaven. That is the meaning of his repentance. Turn everything, the whole evil thing of yourselves and myself to new life in Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of repentance. That's why he said in verse 8, repentance should bring fruits. Not verbally saying I repented or emotionally feeling that I repented. But the entire human being, we have to prove that we repented of our sins. So John began his ministry saying that repent. Turning away from your lifestyle and turn your ways to God. Now, the reason for John's call to repentance of sins is very simple. He says that in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, literally, we can say the kingdom of heaven has come near right now here. Now, here John brings a sense of urgency.
and in his preaching, because people at the time did not recognize that the king, the real king, the true king, his kingdom is right there, is at hand. They didn't realize that. So kingdom of heaven, what John the Baptist said is, it's Matthew's version of kingdom of God. It's the same thing. Since his letter is designed to the Jewish Christians at the time, he didn't want to use God because they thought that is kind of a word that they should not use. He didn't want to give them any impression of misusing the name of God. So that's what John the Baptist said, that the kingdom of heaven, but the same meaning, the kingdom of God. But what about the kingdom of God? Yeah, kingdom of God is coming. Kingdom of heaven is coming. First, we have to understand that John the Baptist was not talking about a geographical area, a kingdom of God. Now, he was talking about God's sovereign rule, his kingdom everywhere. Since God is the Almighty God, and since God is ruling the universe, he is the only king. Now, secondly, John the Baptist is teaching that the coming king will also bring divine judgment. In verse 10, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Let's bring all pieces together. Actually, John's message was not easy to listen. Now, his message was too strong somehow. And we can say too judgmental. Maybe people thought and said, hey, in your message, there's no grace at all. And no one wants to hear the message of preaching like, you're a sinner, you're a horrible sinner before God, so repent of your sin. We don't want to hear that message. Rather, people, including you and I, we love to listen to the message of blessings. Your future is bright. When you pray, God will answer you. Whatever you do, God will support you. We love to hear those messages. But interestingly, people in the first century was different. Now, in our verse, we said that a lot of people, literally lots of people, tons of people, went out to the wilderness. It's not a good place to sit down and to listen to John the Baptist's messages. But they went out, and in verse 5 said, the Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. That's a very interesting sign. And verse 6, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan and confessing their sins. Now, literally, people from all the region came to him, came to the wilderness. Why? To listen to John's message of repent! The good thing is, when they heard John's message, they responded. Our verse 5 says, confessing their sins, they repented of their sins. They realized that from John's message, the kingdom of God surely is at hand. It's not far away. It's not something that comes later, but it's at hand. The real king is right now with us. Therefore, we need to repent of our sins. They repented their sins of ignoring the God and God the king, his ruling and his power. So they turned away from their sins. And then they came to God's presence and mercy and received God's forgiveness. That's why they're baptized by John as a sign of a repentance and seal of forgiveness from God. So people at the time were a little bit different than people nowadays. They were hunger for the truth of God's word. Something that we really wanted to see in our days. People are coming and people are worshiping God because they're hungry for the word of God. Something that we want to see in our church. Nothing else we want to see. We want to worship only Jesus Christ and
teaching from him, hunger for the word of God. That's first century people when John the Baptist taught and he preached. Now, another people, group of people in our text. The Pharisees and Sadducees heard about John's ministry like other people. So they decided to go and visit him. They were not happy with John's successful ministry. We all know about the Pharisees and Sadducees, and there were two different religious groups in Israel. They were a totally different group of people. The word Pharisee means separated. We know them. They saw themselves as God's separated ones, holy ones. And they studied the law very carefully and put all the laws in them into practice, try to teach God's people. So they made a multitude of rules to help people avoiding breaking God's law. So they are teaching God's law. They built a fence around the law. Now, the Sadducees had their own things as well. They were members of the high priest family. So they're a kind of good family, royal family. While the Pharisees accept both oral and written traditions, the Sadducees only accepted the written scripture. They said no oral traditions, oral teachings. And while the Pharisees believed in angel and resurrection, the Sadducees didn't believe them at all. That's why they're different. And one time in the book of Acts, Paul used that tactic to escape his situation, to save his life, bringing issue about angels and resurrection. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they fought against each other. Now, these two different group of people united and came to John. And then our text tells us that many people from these two different group of people came together in verse 7. The Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism. Now we wonder why these two different people, group of people got together, came to John. Because they finally found the truth of God and God's word. They want to learn about it so that they could repent of their sins as John preached. But from Matthew's writing in our text, we can understand the Pharisees and Sadducees were not coming for John's baptism. In our ESV Bible, it says coming to his baptism. Its original language translated to. Also, NIV translated more detail. It said Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where, which is not in the Greek text, but it said where he was baptizing. So, we see that Matthew's intention, Matthew reveals their true intention coming to John the Baptist. It seemed that they were coming for baptism or baptism of repentance, but their core heart, deep inside of their hearts, they did not know anything about repentance. They were just trying to investigate John's ministry. So the thing is, did John know about their hearts? Yes, John did. Now his reaction to them was very strong and harsh. Verse 7, he said, "You brood of vipers," which means offsprings of snakes. Which is really a shocking statement. How many of us can stay if a preacher says all the time and every Sunday, "You brutal vipers"? John did it. And he said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And criticizing their false faith. In verse 8, and he added more. You know what? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, what John the Baptist was trying to say here is, hey, I don't see any proof of repentance in your life. You did not repent of your sins at all. Your lifestyle proves that you did not repent. There is no fruit of repentance in your life. So, you cannot run away from God's judgment. You have to face it.
For you, water baptism will be meaningless because it will not save you. And in verse 7, he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Actually, they will face God's judgment. That's what John is trying to say. Wow. How can we handle John's challenge if we were with them, if we were one of them at the time? Pharisees and Sadducees were sitting like a higher position than John the Baptist. They were leaders of Israel. They were teachers of the laws and descendants of the priests. Holy people. That means they deserved respect from people. They were sitting higher places. But who was John? A weird guy, a strange man eating locusts every day and honey and living in the wilderness. Yet John the Baptist was literally cursing their false faith in front of many people. I'm sure that it was the most embarrassing moment for them. And John rebukes even stronger in verse 9. John says, and do not presume to say yourself that we have Abraham as our father. Now think about this statement. This is all about their pride. John is saying that don't think that you are better than others. Being the children of Abraham is no greater matter before God. And knowing God's law and his rules, and he's no greater matter in the kingdom of God. Because there is no fruit of knowing God, the true God, God's law at all in your life. There is no fruit of repentance in your life. Therefore, you are all sinners before God. You will deserve God's punishment, which is very striking and horrible teaching from John the Baptist. Even his message for the unrepentant and heart, these people was so harsh in verse 10. He said, even now the axe is laid to the root of this tree and does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we know that axe is a symbol of destruction in the Bible. So destruction is coming to you. And fire is a symbol of judgment. God's judgment is coming to you. God's destruction and judgment is at the root of the tree. That means there is no hope at all. And verse 12 is more serious. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If we read the Bible, we know what happened to God's people. God showed his divine judgment to the nations around Israel, even to Israel in the Old Testament. God's judgment is coming. Who can survive with John's kind of crazy message? Who wants to listen? But we have to understand that John's message is not about cursing message. But he proclaimed them about the truth. By pointing their sins, by pointing their false teachings, John asked their repentance in his teaching. John's message was cursed to those who did not understand the message of repentance. But interestingly, John's message was blessings to those who know the meaning of repentance before God. Let's think about our world. What about our world? What kind of messages we want to hear every Sunday? What kind of message we are bringing to the world? Now, people in the world, we know they don't want to hear the message of repentance. Every summertime, we go to canvassing to invite our neighbors to come to our vacation Bible school. if I go knock on the door, and if someone comes out and say, repent of your sins, can you bring your children to our church? They will not happy. They will say that we have a bad church around us. People in the world, they don't want to hear the message of repentance. What about churches in the world? Churches in the world, even preachers and teachers of the 21st century, do not want to bring the message of repentance to people. It's a bad business if someone is talking about sin and repentance. Now, what about us? We don't want to sitting on uncomfortable seats in the church. A pastor is preaching about repent of your sins. We just want to be happy in every day, maintain good relationships and pursuing successful ministries and good things happening in our church. Yes, we need to celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ. But we should not forget one thing, that forgiveness of sins that we have, forgiveness of God has given to us, would not come to us without true repentance of our sins. God's grace that we have, that we always declare that we received from God, becomes true, really true to us, even more powerful to us, when we realized our horrible sins before God. That we realize that no one can rescue us, but only Jesus, He can save us. We need Jesus Christ. So, beginning with repentance is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because we will end with Jesus Christ. That's why John said that bear fruit in keeping with repentance. What about the fruit of repentance of our life? Do we have it? Are we still living in our old lifestyle? Or Christ lives in us today, and we see that Christ in us, and then we see that we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that our hearts are really heavy right now, listening to repentance. If John's message gets beautiful, even more powerful, and full of grace in verse 11, because he's talking about Jesus Christ. In verse 11, now I baptize you water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now this is John's logic and his teaching to people. He's saying that people, you come to me right now, come to the wilderness to be baptized by me for your repentance. That's great. That's good. You need that. You need to repent of your sins. However, what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to teach is nothing. It's compared to the one who is coming after me, mightier than I. I just baptized you with water, but He, the Lord Jesus Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He, the Messiah, will bring fire to you to purify your unholiness before God. He, the Messiah, will bring the true teaching of God. He, the Messiah, will bring true judgment to the world. He, the Messiah, will bring the Holy Spirit to completely forgive your sins before God. Behold, the Messiah is coming. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. I purposely skipped verse 3 at the beginning of my message. It says, the voice of the one crying in wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Which is quoted from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 about John's ministry in the Old Testament. Now, brothers and sisters, we are living in the 21st century. It seems everything looks great and
Every time gets better and faster, and the science and technology are changed every moment and every second. Our life is good and blessed. Enjoy what we have. Everything around us makes us so comfortable. We love our country, and we say we are truly blessed. That is true. But the story of our nation, the people in our nation, just become like the Israelites in the Old Testament. Did you see that? People are turning away from God and God's teaching. People give their hearts to their idols. And the Bible says idols means which cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. But we give our hearts to them. Even Psalm 115 explains about idols. The work of the human hands. We created all these things. They have a mouth but do not speak. Eyes but do not see. Ears but do not hear. Nose but do not smell. Hands but do not feel. Feet but do not walk. But we clearly see that people in our nation are giving everything to these idols. Churches in our nation, churches in the world should be like acting like John the Baptist, preaching from the wilderness. Now our world needs the voice from the wilderness where God's grace is. Our world needs the voice from the wilderness of repentance, the calling repentance of their sins. Now our world needs the voice of God's grace and His forgiveness of sins of the people in Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who should bring the gospel to the world. We are the ones who should prepare the way of the gospel. We are the ones to make the world know about Jesus Christ. And you and I, we are called to be as salt and light of the world through John the Baptist's preaching and his lifestyle. And we know that this is our call to this world, to our nation. As we are making our journey to the cross during this Lent season, we pray that let the world know about Jesus Christ, that He is coming Lord, as He is promised. Let's make a voice to the world, our voice of the gospel to the world. That is our call. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you for John the Baptist, his teaching, which was really strong, and sometimes we don't want to hear that kind of messages. But Lord, this is our call. We have to bring the same message to the world. We are the one who has to prepare the way. We are the one who has to make the paths straight. Lord, bless our congregation. Bless us. Bless all the Christians living in this particular country. And help us to fulfill your call. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.